Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This happened 17 years ago, so please forgive me if the exact details are a little fuzzy. It was the summer of 1999, I was spending the vacation with my mother in New Mexico. I was a 12-year-old girl going on 21 and had a severe attitude. I made friends easily with a few girls that lived just around the corner from my mom's house. We spent every moment together that summer. We were a group of four, all of us thinking we were older and smarter than everybody else. Nikki, Katie, Julie, and I were the last generation of home phone lines, playing outside on the trampoline until dark and having sleepovers. We watched VHS tapes and listened to cassette tapes on our Walkman. It was okay to let your children walk around town at night, and we rarely locked the front door. We had no cell phones or internet. My backyard had a concrete wall around it and a gate. Behind the wall was desert as far as the eye could see. Just the barren wasteland of dirt, cacti, shrubs, and mountains way off in the distance. This town had a major railroad track running straight through it, and there was a major street that had gas stations galore, restaurants, hotels, and attractions. We all received the same warning from our parents. Stay out of the desert and stay away from the tracks, and don't walk the main strip at night. Do you think we listened? Absolutely not. Julie, Nikki, and I spent our days walking through the desert, crossing the tracks and down the strip to Katie's house. Sometimes we would just walk around till dusk. Some days we would go to my house to jump on the trampoline. This particular day we got to Katie's house and prepared to stay the weekend because our parents were out of town and we were having a party.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
The first night, the girls were jumping from a spiral staircase to a giant beanbag. I refused to participate in this due to my extreme fear of heights. We then got down to sleepover business, so to say, and decided to watch the original Exorcist. You know, the one with Linda Blair. Scary shit, man. I didn't sleep. The second night we told our parents that Katie's mom, we obviously didn't tell our parents we were alone, was going to drive us up to the movies. We all got the money for the movies and then promptly walked down the strip to get junk food at the little store. That's what we called it. Now, I wish I could say that we were aware of our surroundings, but we really weren't. We were absolutely oblivious of the man who followed us all the way back to the house. I feel that I should mention that Katie's parents were loaded. They had a huge property with numerous buildings and broken down cars that her dad was remodeling. Their house had a large open kitchen, dining room, and living room. There were no walls, and the whole room was lined with windows. There were two doors, front and back. The day went just as planned. We got our junk food and made it home safely. We made pizza in the oven, and for some reason, one of the girls turned on the TV to the news. As we were eating, we heard a story about staying indoors because there was a report of a sketchy man walking the strip. That's it. We laughed and joked about this dude. Fast forward a few hours, I don't remember what happened, but as girls do, somebody said something that hurt Julie's feelings, and she stormed out of the house. I went after her and opened the front door just in time to see her light up a cigarette. Yes, we were bad kids. I sat with her on a bench while she groaned about the other two. Suddenly, the air got thick with anxiety. Julie felt it too. I quietly asked if she felt like we were being watched. She responded with a tiny nod, and then we were blinded. Somebody was in a car in the driveway with their brights on us. My heart was racing as I stood up and pulled Julie out of the spot she seemed to be stuck in. As we turned to run inside, the man made a sound. I can't describe the sound other than a high-pitched squeal that turned into a growl. I was scared beyond all reason, but I somehow managed to get myself and Julie inside the house. As soon as we got inside, the headlights went off and it was pitch black again. I locked the door and turned off the light. By this time, Julie had regained her composure to tell the other two what had happened, as I frantically checked the back door and turned every light off. I told them to shut up, and they listened by the back door. I heard the car door close, and I remember praying that he would go away. Then right by my cheek, the door handle started to turn slowly, then frantically. I crawled away from the door and moved to where my friends were. For the next 2 or 3 hours, we sat still as stone and listened to this man bang on every window and door trying to get inside. The man was located across the room right next to 2 windows. I finally got up the courage to run to the phone and I called my mom. I told her that we were all alone and somebody was trying to get inside. I hung up with her and waited. Really screamed to the man that we called the cops, and all of a sudden the banging stopped. We sat and waited, listening to him get in his car, and then that sound again. The squeal that turned into a growl, and then he was gone. My mom and stepdad showed up and checked the whole place out. They found tire tracks and cigarette butts in the driveway where his car was, proving he had washed us for quite a while. The truly scary part was the scratch marks all over the doors and the windows. Needless to say, Katie spent the rest of the weekends at Nikki's house and had a great story for her parents when they got home. Our parents didn't punish us for lying and being reckless. I guess 2 hours of torture at the hands of a madman was enough. We made a report to the police, but the man was never caught. This happened a few days ago, and I'm still pretty shaken about it. I only just thought to post it here, so here we go. On Friday afternoon, I got a call from my friend named Sarah asking if I wanted to meet her and another friend named Lisa at Dunkin' Donuts, as we hadn't seen each other in a while. Dunkin' Donuts is a 15-minute walk from my house, so I decided I would walk. Besides, the weather was fine. I got to Dunkin' Donuts and found where Sarah and Lisa were sitting, so I went to join them. As we were chatting, I noticed that my sister, Elena, was sitting at a table in the corner of the room with her friend Jess. For some context, my sister and her friend are both 18.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
My sister still lives with my parents, whereas I live alone. I excused myself from the table and went over to Elena and Jess's table. They were sitting at a table with 3 seats, so I went to sit down and said, "Hey." They both jumped a little bit, but then looked more relieved than anything to see me. Immediately, Elena whispered to me, "Don't look now, but the guy in the blue shirt, I think he's been following Jess and me." I glanced over, and I saw the middle-aged man sitting at a table facing away from us. He passed our table a good 5 times in the past 20 minutes to go to the bathroom, but he walked slower as he passes us. He continued. I told them that they were most likely being paranoid and that there was nothing to worry about. But for their peace of mind, I offered to leave with them so they wouldn't feel as worried. I walked back over to my table and explained the situation to Sarah and Lisa. Both of them laughed it off and assumed my sister to be paranoid. Literally about a minute later, I saw the man get up from his seat and walk towards the bathroom. My eyes followed him, and sure enough, he walked extremely slow past Elena and Jess. In fact, it was almost comical how obviously slow he became. Both Elena and Jess looked in my direction, and I nodded to show that I had seen him walk slower. About 5 minutes later, I went to the toilets. On my way, I passed Elena and Jess and told them I was ready to leave whenever they were. They both agreed that they were ready to leave now. I told them that I was just going to the bathroom and that we could leave right after I'd done my business. Elena had come in her car, so she was trying to give me a lift back. I went into the toilet stall, finished up with everything, and I was walking down the corridor back to the main eating area when Elena and Jess rushed into the corridor. I asked them what was up, and they explained that another man had joined the strange creeper man, and that the men were both pointing and staring at them, so they rightfully felt unsafe. We walked back into the eating area. I put my money on our table and explained to Lisa and Sarah that I was taking off, and I would explain what was going on when I got home. We all got into Elena's car and left the creeps in the car's rearview mirror. After a 2-minute drive, we reached my house. Just then, I had remembered that I had been meaning to return something I had borrowed from my mother, so I asked if Elena could drive me to my parents' house, as she was going there anyway. I jumped out of the car to get what I needed when my phone rang. It was Elena. She explained that a car had driven past and had pulled into a driveway. She said the driver of the vehicle was the creep from Dunkin' Donuts. I looked out my window and sure enough, there was a car that didn't belong to the owner of the house parked on their driveway. I got the girls into my house and locked the door, I instructed Elena to take a photo of the car and its license plate, and I told Jess to call 911 as she could get the operator more information than I could. Elena took the photos, and we sort of gathered around Jess as she was speaking to the operator. She had finished telling the story, and I heard the operator assure us that the police would be at my house soon. A few minutes passed, and there was a loud knock at the front door, followed by a loud voice shouting, "It's the police." We all did a sigh of relief as I went to open the door. Jess told the operator that the police were here, and she hung up. I was in the process of unlocking the door when I thought to look through the spy hole at the top of the door. I peered through it, and it wasn't a police officer, it was the same guy. Frozen fear and didn't know what to say. We didn't call the police. I managed to shout back to the man through the door. Elena and Jess were both confused as to why I said this. "We had a call, sir," the man shouted back. "You have the wrong address," I yelled back and informed the girls that it was the creep at the door, not a police officer. Both were rightfully shocked and extremely scared, as was I. I was about to tell Jess to call the police again until I heard the sirens. "Sir, you have to let me in now," the man shouted again, but this time I didn't answer. He was pounding on the door. His commands for me to let him in turned into begging and pleading. I heard the police car pull up some random commotion outside. An actual police officer knocked on the door and I let him in. Yes, I checked the spy hole first. The police officers took the man into custody while another officer took Elena and Jess into the dining room for some brief questioning. I called my parents and Jess called hers. Both were here extremely quickly once we told them what had happened. The man was found with a kitchen knife on his person and some other weapons in his car. Who knows what could have happened if I hadn't looked through the spy hole first. Both my sister and her friend are fine, just shaken up after the whole incident.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
This happened in Antioch, California. It was around 2 a.m. I was at a friend's house, safe in warm, sheltered suburbia. We were having a lot to drink, chit-chatting and enjoying ourselves. Of course, when you're having fun, time hits the fast forward button and those few minutes turn into an hour. I had too much to drink. Our friend has a bit of an abrupt bedtime, so I had to dodge out early, still intoxicated. I felt too shameful thinking I'd be asking too much to stay in his house to sleep off the drunkenness. I suppose he was either too rude or too drunk to consider it himself. Whatever. Sometimes a little inconvenience makes you appreciate everything else, right? I needed about an hour or so to sober up and drive back. As fast as time passed during my stay, it decided to drastically slow down as soon as I stepped out of his house. It was a cul-de-sac area, a concrete jungle with the stem of the streetlight breaking into a fork. Alongside the road, my car was parked. The only streetlight that worked was in the middle of the cul-de-sac circle, about 80 yards away. I stumbled towards my car, produced my keys, felt the metal lineup, opened my door, and shifted to the back seat. Because this was a dark, strange, and unfamiliar neighborhood, I took the leftover newspapers and a sweater in my back seat to cover myself up. I was a little scared. I wanted to camouflage myself and not be just some guy awkwardly sitting in his car waiting for time to pass in order to drive home. I couldn't fall asleep. The uncomfortable feeling of a cheap backseat bed enshrouded in darkness didn't make the chance of slumber easier. It felt too ominous. And of course, my mind began to wander. I thought of worst-case scenarios. Like how the police would shine their lights on me through the window or a drunk driver hitting my car, and... wait. In the distance, about 100 yards away, I could hear footsteps approaching. The gravel scuffed with each step forward, growing in proximity but periodically taking stops. I wondered why until it made sense in my mind. Whoever it was probably looking through cars carefully, with the intent to steal one. I couldn't recall how many cars were on the block, but I counted 3 full stops, until he was at my window, breathing. I froze. There was no more than 1 foot between us now. The car encapsulated me as I lay hidden beneath backseat clutter, forming myself into an object, trying my hardest to be unnoticeable, unmoving, and simply not there. "I see you," sat a 40-plus-year-old man in a perverse baby talk. Imagine when you were playing hide-and-seek and one of your friends tricks you into coming out. He said it in that tone of voice, as if baiting me, like he was questioning whether the clutter in the back seat was just clutter or a person. I didn't want to move or check the window. I remained cluttered. Give me an Academy Award. My body reacted by minimizing my breathing so much that I felt paralyzed. I dare not look. My eyes fixated on the back of the passenger seat. I didn't blink, I didn't move, and I didn't breathe really. My heart was pounding so hard it shook my body with each throb. He circled around the car. My ears didn't fail me. I heard the steps. I felt like I was part of the car. I could feel him touching the trunk as he carefully pressed down on it, as if to test the alarm or to test me. I was in the middle of fight or flight. I couldn't do either without elevating danger. I was frozen, hoping that he was bluffing. He circled the car again and the door handle to my right jiggled. He was pulling it multiple times. I see you. Same tone, but more agitated and stressed. More convinced that he was trying to make that clutter move, revealing it to be of his expectations that it was me. My muscles tensed like a cow before slaughter. Tap, 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 tap. That had to be metal against glass. Take a penny right now and tap your window. Crowbar, a knife, a rock, a gun. My eyes fixated on the seat in front of me, never averting my gaze like he was. I was covered enough to where I couldn't see beyond the seat in front of me. I know I couldn't see him, but I could feel his eyes resting on top of me. My name is Pokerface. What's your name? The voice changed in a lower, demented, and serious tone. My mind forced a visual. It wasn't anything human. I already accepted my death. I was ready to be shot in the head, ready to take a life-changing bullet and have multiple knife wounds. Just make this sleep bearable, not excruciating, as you drain me out of life. I wouldn't know how to react. My thoughts grew dimmer. I imagined my friend waking up the next morning after a calm night of safe and sound sleep, only to discover my mutilated, defiled, and bloodied body hanging outside my car door. It was then that I heard nothing but my own heart. What was this person doing now? Just staring at me in the middle of the night? Talking to me, or a messy pile in the back seat? Time froze. The footsteps were being swallowed in the distance. Thankfully, he left. I waited another hour until the sun showed hints of itself. I jumped in my front seat and bolted out of there, wide-eyed and sober enough. My story takes place in my home country, where people are more likely to believe in the paranormal. I was around 18 when this happened. I was at home. It was late at night, around 11 p.m. I got into a fight with my boyfriend, as teens tend to do. And naturally, it got overdramatic. There was yelling on phones and tearful confessions. When I put the phone down, I got an idea in my head. Probably the stupidest thing I've ever done. I decided to walk to his house and confront him face to face. He and I only live 15 minutes apart if you walk. However, we're separated by roads that are very dimly lit. If you drive past, you'll never see anyone on the sidewalk. People just don't walk there at night because it's dark as heck. We basically live in a part of town consisting of gated communities, and I was going to walk from mine to his. So I put on a sweater, some shorts, and sneakers. My appearance plays a big part in this because I have a very stereotypically Asian doll look. Bangs, long straight dark hair, rather pale skin and everything. And I'm short, only 5 feet tall. Until now, I could look 12 if I really wanted to. Basically, I'm the last person in the world who would look threatening, and that's not good for me. But that night, I was angry. Deep down, I knew walking there was dangerous, but I wouldn't listen to the alarm bells in my brain. I set off walking at a brisk pace. It was dark. There was no one on the streets. I was completely alone and very mad. So mad that I suddenly got a nosebleed. Already, I'd been tearing up from the drama, and that had to happen. I get nosebleeds when I'm stressed, so out of nowhere, blood gushed from my nose and splattered all over my clothes. It was like a running faucet, and I staved it off a bit with my hands, so my hands got bloody too. My face was tear-streaked and blood-stained. I looked like a mess to say the least. Nevertheless, I was too mad to stop or turn back to even care. I kept walking, even more mad that my clothes were ruined. In my head, I looked like an idiot, and then I saw them. I froze. I'd just crossed the street. The sidewalk had a wall to the left because that was another gated community. To the right was the road. I saw figures moving. Men, around 4 or 5. It was so dark I couldn't see their faces, but there was a ladder leaning against the wall. One of them was on it. They'd been talking, and I could see the glint of tools hanging from their belts. Saw and a hammer. At first, I thought they were repairmen, since it's normal around here for public repairs to be done late at night, so that it doesn't get in people's way in the morning. But still, like any girl, I went from angry to terrified. A gang of men in a secluded area never bodes well for any person. I was going to turn around and flee in the other direction, but it was too late. Before I could leave unnoticed, they'd seen me, because they all turned their heads towards me at the same time. For a very brief moment, we all just stared at each other. It went by fast, so fast that I didn't even have the chance to look scared. My expression was still blank. Just when I was about to flee, one of them yelled, and I was caught in my tracks. But it wasn't an angry yell. It was a high-pitched trembling, "Ah," that trailed off into nothing. The rest of the men started cursing, and they scrambled. I was shaking. I thought they were going to run for me, but they were actually scared shitless. I realized this when they all ran for their car, parked right beside the sidewalk, leaving their ladder behind. They were still cursing, telling each other to hurry up as the car did the fastest, most impressive U-turn I've ever seen in my life, and they drove off in the other direction. I realized that, looking like a bloody China doll, they must have thought I was a ghost. I almost started laughing then and there, but I was too freaked out by the experience. I hightailed it to my boyfriend's house.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Only around a week later did I find out in the papers that there had been a string of robberies around the area. The robbers would bring a ladder, lean it against the wall, and use it to get to houses that were located on the very border of the subdivision. Police actually found out their plans because they found a ladder that had been left behind, aka what happened during my night. One recent robbery had led to a maid being killed by the thieves. Until now, I wonder what would have happened if I hadn't gotten that nosebleed.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.